Jesus is here.
Oh, blessed be His name today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, blessed Jesus. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. Oh, give Him worship today. Love on the Lord Jesus. That's why we came. Tell Him how much you appreciate Him. Thank you, blessed God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm gonna let you be seated for a minute here. Just kind of dead. I'll be done singing so you can take that. God bless you, saints. It's good to be back home. I tell you, there's just something about home, isn't there? You go visiting things, and it was good, and I appreciate having the opportunity to do what we did the last few weeks. Sure missed you all, though, I'll tell you. And you, like I said, you just can kick your feet off. You just can cozy right on in, you know. And it's not like when you're visiting somewhere else. And I just love being home. I told Ellie, I said, I've been up and down the whole East Coast from about New York to Florida. Defiance, Ohio is the best city in the world. I don't care what nobody says. You might disagree with that. You might think, well, I don't know. But I'm not even saying Northwest Ohio, because I wouldn't move to Napoleon. I ain't going to Montpelier. I ain't. Defiance, Ohio is where it at, brother, sister. See, it's nice because it's the city of Defiance, but it's just barely city. You know, if it was any more city, I'd hate it, because then you can't drive across town. It's busy. I hate that. But if it's so much that I can't get to Walmart in a half hour, I don't want to live there either. No, I do. I love this place. I thank God for putting me somewhere that I enjoy. It's just enough. It's just right in the middle of the road for me. So that's why I love it here. We did have a great time. It was good to be able to fellowship with the saints there in Florence, South Carolina. I preached last Wednesday the Wednesday before that and Sunday last week there. Wednesday night they had me speak, and I don't think Brother Fred remembered me until I got in there. Then he did, and I think it was more of like a trial. He didn't really remember who I was, so he didn't say nothing about Sunday until I got done Wednesday night. And I might have talked to him about it a little bit, but he said across the pulpit Wednesday night that I'll be speaking Sunday. So I was like, well, guess I'm speaking Sunday. So it's just kind of the way they do things. And that's the thing I said right away, is I'm not here to pastor this church. I'm just here to evangelize, so I'm not going to get involved in how you all do things. But here I am. Too many times, he's even said it too, Brother Fred told me. He said a lot of times the man will come and try to mess up everything the pastor's done, trying to get done here. It's like, you ain't called to pastor there, just let it go. You might not see things the same, and that's all right. There's different offices, there's different callings, there's different smoothing of the Spirit, but if we'd all just stay in our place, things would run smooth. You say, well, what are you doing down there, Brother Andrew? Well, Paul told Timothy one time to do the work of an evangelist. So there's such things as doing a work, but that doesn't mean that that's what you're going to do in life. So Brother Branham had that whole calling for years and years and years. He did the work of an evangelist, but we know he's really called to be a prophet. So praise the Lord. But had a great time in the house of the Lord down there, some precious people. I got to listen to some of y'all's services here. I didn't get quite through all of it, but it sounded like we had a pretty good time in the house of the Lord. So appreciate those brothers taking the pulpit for me. Had a good service down there. It was Wednesday night, and then I wish I had preached on things, and I'm not used to being evangelical, and I haven't really done it in a long time. So there was some, I went back and started thinking about what I had said, and there's so many times I said something, and I forgot to get to my point. Because I'm just going to let you know, it's a black church down there, and they don't give you no time to sit down. Let's just put it that way. They just start pulling things out. I mean, I was all over the place, it was just hitting people left and right, and I thank God for that. That was the biggest assembly I've ever preached to, so that was different in itself as well. But there was one thing I knew I'd forgotten to, I said something about it, and then I forgot to finish it, and the Lord brought that back to me, because that's what I was supposed to preach on Sunday. So I thank Him for that. That made it a lot easier to not stress out so much about preaching, because I was trying to relax, you know, and I got to. Don't worry, I got to. I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be home. Can I say that? South Carolina's fine, but man alive, it's hot. And it's hot here today. Don't worry, we're getting it. I guess I brought it with me. It's supposed to be 90 something today, but there's just something about it when it's nighttime and it's still 75 out, 80 degrees. What are you doing down here? Why y'all living here? Come back to Ohio. Things make sense here. You know, it cools down at night. You can relax. Hallelujah. But Sunday night, or Sunday, I mean, he Brother Fred preached Sunday night, but Sunday morning, I had made that mention. Y'all might remember that sermon I preached on the Trump. It's all right if I take a little time this morning. Is that okay? I'll try not to go too long, but man, I'll tell you what, I don't know how long I preached Sunday. I stopped looking at the clock because I probably was going on 2 hours. And I was like, just to let y'all know, I ain't never preached this long in my life. So you pulling half this out on your own. So just, you're going to get mad at anybody. I guess get mad at you because you pulled it out of me. So, but either way, it was glorious. I preached that sermon on the Trump and how the two scriptures in the Bible that say Trump instead of trumpet are both talking about the rapture. We're both talking about the resurrection and how that, I believe that's why we got a man named Trump running for office. It's not in so much from political realm, but to let us get our attention back on what season are we living in, brother, sister. And if we get people to believe that this is the end time, it definitely changes how you approach life. If you still think you got 50 years, you just lay in church, you just fall asleep, whatever, I got to get somewhere. But if you recognize that this could be the last time you're allowed to be in the presence of God, it would change your approach to it.
Amen.
And we would recognize life is really that fragile anyways. You could walk out of here and get hit by a car. There ain't nothing to stop that from happening. You could have a heart attack right now and die. That's right. We need to recognize every breath we have is a gift of God. And the older you get, the more trials you go through, the more you recognize that's absolutely right, brother. That's absolutely right. I don't know why I'm still breathing right now. I should be dead right now, but I'm not. So if I've got a breath, I'm going to use it for the Lord. Amen. I've used enough of them for the devil anyways. I might as well start using them for God. Amen. Hallelujah. But I preached that on the Trump, and I was in the office, and Brother Fred came in there a few times, and he said, "Brother, you're nervous, but I like it." And I was, honestly, I wasn't too bad Sunday. I was real nervous on Wednesday. I ain't going to lie. I don't know. I was just, it did something for me. Let me say it like that. There's a certain level with the ministry of nervousness that you have to have to be, be sharp, be on point, to know that you're not involved in it, but you've got to learn how to step aside and let the Lord. And if you don't have that and you get mundane, you get routine, you tend to lose what God is trying to say. Now that happens to the Christians too. If you come to church and just mundane, just saying, if you don't have that level of, I'm here to please the Lord. Oh man, we're getting real quiet. I don't know. This ain't even my notes yet. We'll get to that in a minute. But every day, as Brother Brandon, I just heard him say it on the tape I think it was yesterday. He was saying how people come to Christ and they think, oh, it's just going to be fine, hunky dory, and everything's great and nothing to worry about. He says, no. Actually, he said, it gets worse. Because he said, it's not as far as bad or in trials, but the thought constantly in your mind is, am I pleasing my Lord? Before, you just did whatever. You didn't really think about it. If you felt like it, you did it. If you didn't, you didn't. But when it comes to the Lord, now you're constantly thinking, Lord, am I pleasing you? Am I doing what's right? And it can put a pressure on you. Now, a little bit of pressure is a good thing. If you let it bog you down so much to where you can't even say amen because you ain't worthy to even be in the house of God today, you went too far the other way. You're coming under the wrong inspiration. But I was preaching on the Trump, and I was in the office, and I was praying about it and stuff, saying, Lord, you know, I just saw a big billboard Trump, and I remembered it from Sunday, and I say, well, two or three is a witness, Lord. And Brother Fred came in there, and he went to grab something off his desk, and he flipped his glasses over, and I took a picture of it. But right here, it said, the brand is Trump. Yeah, I didn't know Trump had, I don't know if it was Donald Trump or Trump something else, but either way, flipped over, and I saw Trump hit me, and I was like, well, all right, I feel a little bit better now about this. But had a great service Sunday, as I said, people just pulling the word, and it was just amazing. I just had a great time in the house of God. At the end of the service, you know, I've had it happen here one time when Brother Jason came up for prayer, and I knew what he was praying for before he got here. That I guess you'd call that discernment, but that happened at the service Sunday morning. It just shows you that I needed to have the faith before I got to the service. But anyways, I had a sister come up, and I just started praying for her as if I already knew what she told me, and pray for another brother right here who's coming up for prayer. And there was a sister who came up from Wednesday, and I don't even remember what she prayed for Wednesday. But at that time, I just looked at her and said, sister, right there. And she told me, she came up to me later, and she said she was like this. She's like, Lord, is that me? And I said, yeah, you right there. See, it wasn't me having the conversation. It was God having the conversation that knew her thoughts right there. And she looked at me, and the Spirit told her, said, look, it's going to be fine. Quit worrying about it, and don't worry about your family no more. And she just, you know, got in the spirit, because I guess she told me later that she's got family members leaving the message and stuff like this happening, and just up and down. She should have been the one that leave, because she fought it the worst, and now the other ones that have been in it for years are the ones that, and it's just a big mess on every side. But she said, I came to church saying, Lord, you got to speak to me directly today. And it did me good. I'm not going to lie. That felt great. But here's the thing, brother, sister, I can say that. We've seen it here in our assembly as well. But when is it going to come to the place where we recognize that that's the final sign to the final age before Jesus comes?
Amen.
There will be nothing else given to us. And I even told church, I said, this is not greater. Brother Branham's gift would outshine mine any day, anything that's ever been in my ministry. But it's the same thing. It's the same sign. It's the same witness. What is it really? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never diminished in power. He never changed. He still discerns thoughts and intents of the hearts. And everywhere He goes, there's power. Everywhere He goes, there's deliverance. Everywhere He goes, there's a lot of people who appreciate it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And everywhere He goes, there's a lot of people who scorn it. So, amen. But man, that did me good. We had some good fellowship after service, and they got an assistant minister there. I so appreciated the fellowship with him. He's about Brother Dan and Dad's age, you know, up there a little wise. And pray, I want to have him out. I said something to him last year about it, and never just got to it. But I just have a burden on it for this year. So let's pray for that the Lord can do what He wants here. I think it does good to have some ministry come through here once in a while, keep you all fresh. You know, you get all used to me. You just get all, well, just Brother Andrew again. Here we go. Probably going to rake me over the coals. I'll tell you what, I think it was. It was Wednesday night. Brother, sister, I don't think I've ever preached that hard. And I was just, what in the world am I doing? Like, you all ain't even going to have me back after this one, you know. But then there'd be a brother come up and say, keep preaching hard, brother, keep preaching. And I'm like, well, okay, here it comes, you know. Everything else. And even there was a brother over here sitting in sweatpants, one here with jeans on, and I said something about that, you know, and I'm like, mercy, goodness, Lord. And it just came out before I even thought anything of it, you know. And it's one thing if you don't have it, brother, sister. Look, don't get me wrong. If people got more than others, it's not measured by what you wear. But there's something out of the heart that speaks in what we do. That's right. If you appreciate something, you go, like we appreciate when, or we mourn someone that's passed on. What do? We appreciate their life. We give testimony to it. And what do? We come to a funeral? We look nice. We sharpen up because we're respecting that. How much more to respect a dead person when we come here to respect the risen Savior?
Amen.
And if you're respecting men or persons or somebody's doctrine, yeah, that'll phase out and you'll get all legalistic about it and you'll blast anybody you don't have a tie on. And you'll just run people over the rakes just because of this, that, or the other. But when it's something out of your heart, says, Lord Jesus, this is the least I can do for what you've done for me. Even there, I was testifying a little bit. I testified a lot on Sunday. That's probably what took up a lot of the time. But it just did to people so well. I had plenty come, and I wish I could go through all of it. But it's just like the Bible says, if we would write down everything Jesus did, there ain't enough books in the world to fit it all. You know, I had people say, well, you said this, brother, and it really, there was that, and all the way through. So it was just a great time. We got to have a good time at my mom's and then down in Charleston, just relaxing and trying to, I don't know, just have a little time where I didn't have to think about where I need to be in 10 minutes. What do I need to study for tomorrow? What do I got? You know, just a little rigmarole of life that we go through. So hope y'all missed me, because I sure missed you all. Amen. I sure did. I just love you people. I don't. You might not think you're lovable, but there's something God put in my heart for y'all. All right. I guess I'm just called to be your pastor. So let's stand together this afternoon. Amen. I'll try not to go too long on you. James chapter 3. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. There we go. James chapter 3. In just a few verses, and then if we can, we'll turn over to Matthew 15. James chapter 3, in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. I'd like to stop there. Let's go to Matthew 15. And verse 7. Matthew 15:7. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Matthew 15:7. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth out or into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I like to preach this afternoon as we've been going through this book of James. Waiting the waves of offense. Let me say that again. Waiting the waves of offense. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart as well. As we approach God's Word, is there a need you'd like to lift up to Him? With a raised hand, say, Lord, you know what's behind this hand. You know what's in my heart. And I know that you're the only one who can help me. Look at those hands. God bless each one. God, hear your prayer and pray with all that's in you as we invite the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering the saints together today, Lord. And we come to the house of God, not out of duty, but out of privilege, Lord, that we get the opportunity to be here and to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a place to worship. You've given us a word in this day that we wouldn't be deceived and running from pillar to post, not knowing what to believe or where to go. But you've given us a rock solid foundation to know where to put our feet and to rest, that no matter what storm would come, my feet are in the rock, Christ Jesus, and nothing the devil can bring can ever knock me off, Lord. Help each one to believe that with all their hearts. I pray that the Word would come and speak to every need that's here. May you discern all the wickedness out of our lives, Lord. Bring us where we ought to be in you. May there be a revival in the heart of every person that's here to serve you with new vigor, serve you with new zeal than they ever have in the past. Grant today, we pray, hear every heart's cry, I ask. May they leave here with their needs provided, Lord. May faith rise over the circumstance, Lord, and bring glory to your name. Have your way in this service, we pray. Speak through my lips, but God, hear into every heart. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank the Lord. And as I told him down there, he said, but you don't have to stay seated. Is that all right? Sometimes I think we just get a little too stuck on just thinking about church as a religious affair. Brother, sister, if you still got religious affair in your Christianity, you missed the picture. It's not a religious affair. It's literally a love affair. I'm not here to just go through motions or just look at my neighbor and wonder about this, that, or the other thing or what we're doing for lunch. I'm here because I love the Lord Jesus. He told me to come here and I would meet with Him. And that's why I walked in this building. It's so I could be in the presence of God. I could hear His voice. For God has set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. I didn't set myself here. God set me here with this gift to speak to you and to me as well, brother, sister. I was even talking to some brothers after the service about how I've watched the Lord use my ministry. And that sounds crazy to somebody who don't know what I'm talking about, but it's not my ministry. It's the Lord's, what He's given to me, and I can literally stand over here and watch Him preach. You might think that's nuts, like I'm crazy or something, but the gift of God makes a way for itself. If a man understands his gift and everything that's going on, he's still too involved. It has to be the Spirit of God is able to use it and to say things that go beyond reasoning, that go beyond anything that you can comprehend. If I would just approach this service logically, there wouldn't be nobody here from God, brother, sister. It's beyond that. You've got to get beyond carnal thinking, carnal reasoning, and get to the Bible and what the Word says about my circumstance. Hallelujah. That's got to become an absolute to us, brother, sister, that what the Word said about the circumstance is what's true. Not what I feel, not what I sense, not what somebody else said, not what somebody brought to my attention, but what the Word said about it is the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Amen. That I'm not serving a God of history. I'm not serving a God of the future. God never said He is the I will or I did. He's the God that is the I am. Amen. It means if He was alive in the day of Moses, He's still alive today, brother, sister. Amen. Amen. Now, as we read there in James, He said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I'm going to stop right there. First say, this message is made for the brethren. It's made for Christians that are trying to serve the Lord and have come in, and he's telling them, don't be many masters. What does that mean? Don't you call no man master on the earth. Don't call nobody father. Don't serve me through a pastor. Don't serve me through a church. Don't serve me through a man. Serve the one master, which is Jesus Christ. He says, don't be many mastered, because then you bring reproach, then you bring hypocrisy, and then you'll receive a greater condemnation because you knew better. Those out there that haven't heard the voice, or haven't heard the shout, or haven't heard the trump of God, they don't know nothing about it. God can show them ignorance. But brother, sister, if you've heard the voice, you're accountable to believe everything that was preached. Amen. Now, what's James admonishing here? He says, for in many things we offend all. And brother, sister, if you ain't offending somebody in this sinful world, you ain't living a life. No, you ain't. There's no such thing. You will make the devil mad if you stand on the word. He cannot stand it. He hates every bit about it. He can't stand anything about Christ. If you even mildly reflect Christ, he hates you. You know why? You remind him of the one that whipped him.
Amen.
You remind him of the one who took the keys from his hands.
Hallelujah.
And said, give me those. I'm going to give them to Peter. To a man who might deny me later, a man who cursed while denying me, a man who got hot off the gun, that's right, said, let's go, let's do this, let's do that. And Jesus always had to get in his way all the time, but he knew there'd be a day he received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And when he received the Holy Ghost, he says, then he can handle these keys.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll know who to preach it to. Amen. Now, many things we offend all is, as we were reading there in Matthew. Remember what I'm preaching on, wading through. What does it mean to wade through waves? It means to try to stay afloat. It means you know they're going to come, you know they're going to go, but you got to stay alive.
Amen.
And if you get on the ocean at all, we didn't quite get there because just didn't have enough time and just didn't care enough. Is that? It's just sand after it's all done, sand and water. And you got to get dirty, you got little ones, you got to clean them all up, and it just, you can, as parents, you know, the Bible says the wise foreseeth the evil. And I could see the 4-hour production this was going to be on the beach for a half hour. So I said, well, I'll just do something else. I'll be all right. But if you get out in the waves a little bit, if you've ever been to the one I have when I was littler, I guess it wasn't too long ago now, but that was mine. What is that? I'm going to have to figure out what did that noise. I'm sorry about that if you heard it. But either way, when you get out there in the waves, you got to learn to anticipate the wave coming. Because if you don't and you ain't ready and you go like this, and if you've ever got a mouthful of ocean water, you know what I'm talking about. It's the most vile, disgusting, nastiest taste I think I've ever had in my mouth. It will make you throw up if you don't get it out fast enough. That's right. Why? Because you weren't anticipating. You weren't ready for it. You just thought, well, I'm just out here having a good time, no big deal. And poof. And little guys, you know, you don't have to watch it at all. If you get out there, they're going to get knocked down. Why? Because they don't think nothing of it. It's just a little water. It ain't going to hurt me. Boom! Down on the ground he goes. Why? He wasn't anticipating the waves. He didn't think they would come, but they did anyhow because that's the law of nature. Them waves are going to go with the tides. We understand the wind and the sun, or not the sun, but the moon and how it pulls those waves through and all those things. And a man that knows the sea knows, if I'm going to go out there, I need to wade through this. There's coming to be times where I can kind of relax and know it's going to be fine. But when it starts coming, I better be ready or it's going to cause me a lot of trouble. Now, what are the waves that we're talking about are not waves of water. That'd be easy. We're talking waves of offense. People getting offended. And first, as I just said a minute ago, if you're preaching the word, if you're living the true gospel, you are going to offend people. You're going to make people mad. You're going to make people call you all kinds of stuff. And if you don't like that, you came to the wrong religion. That's right. Even now, it's even tough to be a nominal Christian, much less a real spiritual believer. If you even adhere to Christ, they'll say, well, what about gay marriage? What do you think about that? And if you don't side with them, why are we so quiet today? Come on now. You ain't never dealt with these devils. You just go, I don't know, maybe we need to repent and get back to God and say, Lord, use me again like you used to. Come
Amen.
On.
Amen.
Amen. But them devils, they'll come and they'll get all kind of reasoning, say, you don't even know the love of God. I'm I'm afraid of you Christians. I want your Christ, but I don't want you, not knowing that you don't get Christ without going through the Word, because He is the Word, and He did not say nothing good about no homosexuality. That's right, brother, sister. People say love this or hate the sin, love the sinner. But brother, sister, you got to understand something. That sounds like a good phrase, but I've seen that used as just tolerate sin. Let it do whatever you want. Just, you know, just in your heart, you know, you don't really believe in it and all this stuff. But to actually vocalize it, you know, you don't need to do that because you'll offend them. You show me where Jesus had that kind of filter. I just showed you what we just read there. He said, you bunch of hypocrites. He said, you draw nigh with your lips. You think you are being Christian. And I just watched a video. I couldn't believe it. I barely made it through it. About a man who was a pastor, found out he was a woman, and he didn't lose his church. He didn't divorce his wife. They're still together, still raising a family, still pastoring the church, but he's a woman now. And yeah, it did that to me. Like a little bit of, ugh, what are you talking about? Why? Because people have begun to believe in a God of their own imagination. A God that never offends anybody. A God that never makes anyone feel bad. Not knowing that the first words that came out of Jesus when he said the kingdom of God was coming was, repent! Which means if you gotta repent, you're wrong! You need to get right, because what you're thinking before was the devil's thought, and I'm here to bring you God's thought, and the only way to get here is to say, I was wrong!
Amen.
And that's one thing, brother, sister, the devil can impersonate a lot of things, but I've never seen him confess that he was wrong. Woo! Gonna have to roll the sleeve up one more time for this one. He'll never confess he's wrong. I've seen that religious devil come up. They got every excuse in the book. They say, well, I know I did that, but you know, I had to because of this. And I know the Bible says that and I believe it, but you know, I just can't. You understand? No, I don't. I don't understand. I understand what God said about it. And I think God understands the situation a whole lot more than you and I ever will or ever could. And I'm going to take His word on it. Don't tell me that God, you know, He just did all this and that's why I can't go to church no more. I just can't do it. I just can't read my Bible no more. I just can't pray no more. I just can't. It's just too hard. It's the end time. Can't you see all these things I got to go through? I got to get this done. I got to get this. I got to get this. I got to do this. If I don't do this, then this won't happen. And well, how about you just go sell that vehicle you don't need and can't afford? Hallelujah. Now, if you got a nice one, you afford it, that's fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we're looking for. But if I've watched people burden themselves with things of the world, and they complain that God don't help them.
Right.
Not knowing that the thing you're burdened by is what you're worshiping.
Right.
And that's why God can't help you. Because you're not worshiping Him. If you, oh man, this is real quiet. Are we okay? Do we need to do some jumping jacks, sing some higher here for a little bit? No, this is where rubber meets the road, brother, sister, is do you love the things of the world or do you love Him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look, you can't have both.
Amen.
John already said that. He said, if you have love of the world or the things of the world. Some people don't love the world. They don't like the, you know, how there's murder and all these bad things going on. But the things of the world, they just got a little bit of love for.
Sure.
Just enough to say, man, I really appreciate that basketball star. Ain't he just something? No, he's just a man.
That's right.
I got quiet, but look, I hit a lot harder on sports down south. And that, you think it's quiet now, wait till there's 400 people and it's quiet. And the pulpit ain't too big yet, you know. No, there's no honor to that, brother, sister. And that might sound disrespectful, but I'm sorry. LeBron James just knows how to put a round thing in another bigger round thing.
Yeah.
And he can get you to fall on the ground while you try to block him. But when it's all said and done, what is that doing for anyone? Nothing. It's taking all kinds of funds. Do you know they pay them people millions and millions of dollars? You don't pay people salary if you're not making money. So they can pay them millions and millions of dollars because they're making more money off of them than what they're paying them.
Right.
And where's that money coming from? People like you and I, and at least in our economical brackets, that spend money on watching it, on going to games, on buying merchandise, on buying videos and everything that involves it. They make more money off that. So the thing that looks like it's helping them is actually what's bringing them under bondage.
Sure.
Because they have to go to the game. I got to get season passes.
Yeah.
I just have to do this. No, you have to. If you're a Christian, you have to do the word. And if you ain't got that attitude yet, you need to back it up. You need to die out to sin. You need to repent of your ways and get the real Holy Ghost, because whatever spirit you got ain't holy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do I plan on some offense in this room? Yes, sir. And I'm going to try to wade every one of them. That's right. Hallelujah. I pray you get offended enough to let the devil get out the door.
Amen.
That's right. Because he needs to go. Because as much as he tells you that those things are helping you, if it's not in the Word, it's what's bringing you down.
Amen.
We've all experienced it, and we might be experiencing it right now. The devil always tells you, if you just do it one more time, you'll be satisfied. You just watch one more clip, then you'll be all right. Then you'll have peace. Not knowing it's bringing you further away from peace all the time. And he's smart enough to when you see that God's getting a little far away, he'll paint you up another one a little ways out to make you think you're not that far away from God no more. Say, look, oh, it's okay. Nobody knows what you're doing. It's all right. Look, you still, at least you're not drinking anymore. Paint you up another Jesus. You're still kind of close to this. No, the real Jesus is way over there. You believe in another Jesus right here, and that's what's going to kill your soul, brother, sister.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Offenses are going to come, brother, sister, but they need to be coming because of the Word. Let me say that one more time. There's plenty of people who think that the offenses they are bringing are from the Word, but it's just because you're rotten, nasty, and mean. Okay? If you ain't got the character of Christ, and we'll get to that when we finish here, then you done missed the whole picture. Look, and go with me to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Is the word the absolute to you today?
Amen.
Amen. So what we read, we need to quit putting the word but at the end of it and just say amen from now on.
Amen.
I tell you, that'd do you a whole lot better. Luke 17. Praise the Lord. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Oh, I just can't even skip over that. No, but couldn't I have done that better? Were you standing on the word? Yes. But why'd they get mad? Why'd they leave? Why'd they do this? Why'd they do that? It doesn't matter, brother, sister. You answer to one master. And His name's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the Word. So if you are living the Word, you preach it. Look, you can offend people by saying you believe in divine healing. You say, no, I don't need, look, I know my son might be sick today, but we're going to church.
There you go, amen. Sure.
He said, that's not responsible. That's not reasonable. No. It's reasonable. It's not, you can't use any reasoning. That's the devil. But it is reasonable because the Word says that He's the healer of all our infirmities. So I'm not bringing Him to the house of God just hoping. Some people do. That's the problem. That's why you don't get nowhere. I'm believing. I know He's going to be fine. I know because I believe the Word. And I believe God said what He meant. Amen. He didn't just have a haphazard thought and just let some word go out. He was careful to articulate every part of His Word just the way He wanted it. And when He said, I'm the Lord that heals all thine diseases.
Amen.
He didn't stutter. He didn't say, put in a little asterisk in the corner like so many of us do.
Right.
I heal all thine diseases. And I ain't never seen the presence of God not heal anyone that believed it.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Sure thing.
And the devil get offended by that every time. He'll tell you, oh, that just don't make no sense. Why'd you do that? And look, I ain't trying to just blow hot air. I believe in what I'm saying.
Amen.
I remember the one time my wife had just brought to my attention, just leave your place there. I'll go back to it. Hallelujah. My wife one time had that preterm labor. It was a few years ago. It was Wesley, that's right, when he was born. So it's been a little while now. And she was having some contractions, they thought anyways. I don't even know at this point after it was all said and done. But it started happening Sunday service. We went to church and everything. After that, she went to the hospital. And I see, that's reasonable. If you're sick, go to the hospital. But it doesn't make sense to say, I'm not going to let the Lord have His way first.
Right.
Did you hear me now? We can go to the house of God. I believe you should do that. And He can lead you. Sure, but the Lord will never lead you outside of His Word.
Amen.
It's just, it's nonsense. Yeah. It's the land of the devil.
Amen.
That's right. It never pans out.
Right.
I've seen so many people tell me, you know, like, they're so happy. They had a terrible morning. They had a terrible day. But they said, you know what? I'm going to church anyways.
Yeah, right.
They said, I didn't feel like coming here at all. But I came anyways, and God blessed me and helped me.
Amen.
Has anybody heard the other story? I haven't yet. Oh, I made it to church, but I'll tell you what. I was supposed to stay home. I don't know why. I was just miserable the whole time. He's spitting on me, and I was uncomfortable. I didn't want to be there. And I got home, and the Lord told me I was supposed to stay home. You know, see, we all know that's absolute nonsense. Because that's not the word. How much more the God that says, when we bring our other problems, why do we go act like there's a better way to do it? Do it God's way.
Amen.
How many of you know that a snake bite can be healed by putting a brazen one up on a pole and looking at it?
Amen.
I don't know how it worked, but it did.
Right.
And the people that didn't look at it died. But those that did were healed. Back in the days of Moses, that's where you even get the whole snake on a pole thing. That's where it came from. Divine healing. Amen. My wife had that preterm labor. We stayed in service. We didn't miss church for that. And we went to the hospital and things. But by the time it was done, we were in Toledo all the way from Sunday night till Wednesday afternoon. Guess who came to church Wednesday night? That's right. Now, my wife did stay home, okay? She was recovering. She had been in the hospital for 3 days. I understand that. But I'm fine. And my wife didn't say, oh, no, you need to stay home with me. No, she said, go. Go serve the Lord. I'll be okay. Just have them pray for me. There's plenty of people say, oh, no, I need to be there all the time, every minute. No, that's why they're not helping them. Because you're fueling the same unbelief that they already have. Because you would know, if you really believe, they know whether you believe or not.
That's right.
That's right. You might convince me, you might convince a brother and sister with some kind of reasoning and some kind of quotes with scriptures or anything. But the unbeliever knows whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
Because you either act on it or you don't. They're not looking at your theology, they're looking at your life.
Amen.
And if your life don't match the theology, you can preach all you want to, you can say all you want to, it won't mean a lick to them.
Amen. Amen.
But a life that's lived for God, a life that puts the Lord first, it'll offend the devil. But I'm telling you what, if there's any hunger for God in there at all, it's the only chance they'll ever have is a consecrated life that stays on the Word, that prays for Him, that believes with Him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord for His goodness. Now, let me just keep reading there. Luke 17. Then said unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And I could just stop there for now. See, offenses are going to come, brother, sister. They're going to come one way or another. You might be the one offended right now. But you need to deal with the waves as they come. And not go complaining about it, not whining about it. Say, Lord, why did you let this happen? I hate that, brother. Look, that's why you ain't getting nowhere. God allowed it to happen. Some people let waves of 50 years ago still dictate their lives.
Sure.
Oh, I know why that brother said that, because I remember a brother before said that, and that's what he... What does that matter? This is a different person, different place, different time. It don't mean that necessarily. Judge it by the spirits. That's right. Now, if you see the same spirit, sure, walk out the door. Where are we at today, brother, sister? I'll tell you what. That devil's trying to keep us bound. That's what it is. He's trying to keep us mad. He's trying to keep us offended, trying to get us pointing fingers and blaming everyone else why we don't have a good experience with God.
Come on.
Amen. And really what it is God has allowed these things to come. He sent His Son. He done said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. You know it's going to happen. But don't you be the one stirring it up for no reason.
Sure.
That's what he said. He said, if you offend one of these little ones that believed in me, it would be better for me to drown you in the ocean and save you from an angry God than to offend one of these little ones. See how much more delicate we ought to treat one another than what we do. Well, that brother offended me. I needed to do this. No. You need to wade the wave as it comes by. Recognize, you know what? There's going to be some convictions you have that God has given to you. That you can't say necessarily, thus saith the Lord, as far as right out of the scripture, just, but there was something He told you you're supposed to do.
Right.
That don't mean your brother's supposed to.
Right.
But you do.
Yeah.
That's what grace is all about. That's the law of grace, brother, sister, is that we can be, we're on, in connection with Christ. He's our Father. And what He tells me to do, I need to do it. It won't leave this word now. Don't get me wrong. Don't go off saying you're allowed to get, watch the things of the world and do the things of the world and God told you it was okay. That's not right. But there's certain things that we, some people have convictions of that others don't. And if we would quit offending one another, and judging one another and causing all of this offense to run through, split churches in half. Well, I've seen them split for the stupidest reasons. Right. People got, oh, I think we should sing songs like this. Well, I think we should do it like this. And we should do, who cares? Show me a scripture where we have to have a piano. We can't use a guitar. There's some people who don't believe in that. There's some that got problems with drums and this and that. And I understand if you got a conviction, you stay with that. Don't you let somebody, and I hate when a minister gets pressured into losing his conviction. Right. If God gave a minister that conviction and you're at that church, you need to submit to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Give me a good hearty amen. Y'all need to help me out a little bit more to get through this one. All right. Hallelujah. I know this wasn't going to be an easy one, but this is the truth of the word. As in James there is when he says, in many things we offend all. So when you stand on the word, you're going to offend every devil. You know why? Because you don't associate with them. You're not a part of them. You look funny. You act funny. You don't talk it up like them. You don't care about the things that they value with all that's in us. Just like we said sports a minute ago. They put their whole heart into that. Sure. And you just go and say, like I just said about LeBron James, who cares? And they get mad. They get offended. Why? Because he tried hard. Well, it'd be a lot better if he get on his knees and try hard to save some souls and use the what God has allowed him to get for real people.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. Just like, oh, we got these Democrats want to let everyone just come in the country, don't they? I don't care if they're coming from Mexico or from Syria. It doesn't matter. They want everyone to come over. Oh, really? Here's a petition. Five of them get to live in your house. All of a sudden it's, oh, I don't know about that. See, as long as our niceness is this far away, it's okay. But when it comes down to you as the individual got to have this conviction, yeah, let's go see if all the Democrats are going to let a Syrian refugee come live in their, or refugee come live in their house. We'll see how long it takes for this legislation to get turned over. Hallelujah. Don't you never think politics love you. Or politicians or anything political. None of them, they hate you, okay? The reason that you're a tool for them to get money.
That's right.
That's what happened. Because the federal government, the way it was established in the very beginning, all it was to do was to provide protection for the people of the states. That's why we're called the United States. We're not called America. We're called the United States. Every state was to govern itself the way it wanted to, but when it was all done, they would come together to protect the nation.
Right.
That was it.
That's it.
Police, firefighter, and that we're done. That's it. And military, there you go. Everything else was dictated down, even the state. They would govern their state, but the local communities could take care of what they wanted to. And that's the way God established His kingdom, brother, sister, to where it gets down. As I went down there to, you know, South Carolina, I was like, man, this is a whole different world down here.
Sure.
And then I realized that Coward, South Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina are two different worlds.
Sure.
And then I realized, you know what? Ohio is a whole different world than here. And Defiance is a whole different world than Napoleon. And I kept breaking it down and said, you know what? Every person is really a whole different world.
Yes.
Every one of us. But here's the thing. We want absolute rights and absolute freedom. There's no such thing. Because for me to have absolute right, I'd have to get rid of yours.
Right.
For me to never offend anybody would mean I would do nothing.
Right.
Because we're all in our own little world. Everybody wants to have absolute freedom. There's no such thing. If I had absolute freedom, that means I can murder anybody I want to. Well, it takes away your freedom because you don't have the right to live. But offense, oh, I'm offended. What happened? What happened because you're offended? What changed? I'll tell you what changed. Your joy went down the tank.
Right.
Is this speaking to somebody? I'll tell you what, I feel like peanut butter right now. But hallelujah. We should expect opposition to come. Brother, sister, how we decide to handle it is what will speak of Christ or not. Not whether it comes, because it's going to come. We've got too many voices trying to tell us that, you know, it's not supposed to be like this. Really? So you're telling me God messed it up. God didn't know what the end time was going to be like and He couldn't prepare His people for it. So what are you trying to say then when you say that we can't do what the message said we can do? when we can't pray through like we used to. We can't have revival like we used to. You know, they had it better back then than we do today. There's no such thing as that in the Bible.
No. Right.
Yet so many people are living in a yesterday experience.
Right.
Sure. Man, I wish I could just go back to when God moved like this and like that. What's wrong with today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what changed. It ain't God. It's your approach
Amen.
To His Word.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Somewhere, your faith got off track.
Yeah.
Say, what do I do then? Come on back, brother.
Amen.
Say, I ain't going to make no excuses. If you're going to come back to the Lord, if you've got excuse in one side of your mouth, you might as well quit wasting your time.
Sure.
Just go out in the world because you're still in it. Oh, Lord. No excuses. There's no time for that. How do we got time for excuses? This thing's coming whether you want it to or not. You ain't going to vote something in to stop the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
You ain't going to save this nation with, I don't care, Trump or Hillary Clinton. It don't matter. It's going down the tubes. And it already is if you just believe what we were already told in this day. It's done gone. We are living on a farce. We're living on a pillow. It's going to crush when they finally stop holding it up with this false money that we have.
Right.
You think you got money? That stuff ain't worth the paper it was printed on.
Right.
It's not. It's a perceived thing we've come up with. And the second they want to call it back in, there goes everything.
Yes.
Sure. All you got to do is let California sink and boom, we'll sell out like
right.
nothing.
Yep.
Why do you think we fueled a whole civilization that's totally dependent on someone else? And I'm not going to say I'm not affected by it. My goodness, I don't know how to farm like I need to if things got real tough. I don't know how to build. I don't know how to do these things. I don't know how to take care of my car. Things that I, you know, 50 years, not even 20, 30 years ago, everyone knew how to do it. Because you had to do it or you're going to die. But see, why did we fuel this society? The devil set it up so he could instantly destroy it. And what happens is you take all this false security away, people get scared, and they say, I don't care if we have a dictator, as long as I'm safe, I'll take it.
Right.
Hitler already did it in Germany, we all know that, but don't act like Hitler's an outlier. People have been doing this in history all the time. They did it in the Roman Empire, they did it in Greece, they've done it over and over and over again, and America will be no different. Why are you fighting to not offend this nation? This nation's done. I don't want to make this man bad because he doesn't like this, and I can't say anything about gays because of this, and this man don't like praising the Lord like I do, and I'll get all mad about it, and you just get all offended and all worked up, and before you know it, there ain't no moving of the Spirit nowhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But brother, you don't know what he did to me. I know God allowed it, so get over it.
Amen. Sure.
Wade through it. Look, God never told us to stick up for ourselves. He told us to stick up for the Word, and He'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
That's right. If you give me somebody who will just stand on the Word regardless of what happens, I don't care if they lose their job. I don't care if they lose their house. I don't care if they lose all their friends. They will still be standing.
Amen.
They will still have joy. They will still have peace that the world don't know a thing about.
Amen.
That's right. And I pray we all find ourselves there today. Romans 12:19. Listen now, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Sure.
Doesn't that sound like wading through some waves? He's not saying that evil ain't coming. He's saying it is coming. But that don't give you a right to fight back.
Right. Amen.
That don't give you a right to get offended as well. See, a sheep gives up his rights. I tell you what, this Laodicean hates that. I have a right to do this. I have a right to be like this. If it ain't the Word, no, you don't.
Amen.
That's right. Look, and us getting cold and different and informal on God in our lives in general. And look, I say, God, help me because I've watched that wave try to come in even my house.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm not. It's going to come.
Yes.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Just lay down and let it drown you. You'll drown. That'll be it. You'll be done. You'll be overcome with the things of the world, and you'll never experience the presence of God. But if you'll just stand up once in the name of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I don't feel like doing this at all. I'm so tired I could just pass out right here, but I'm getting on my knees, amen, and I'm going to spend time with you, amen, because you deserve it, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
And you know what? I'm going to get down, and I'm going to pray for that guy that's got me all worked up. That's honorable in the sight of God. As Peter said it, I'm just going to quote, try to get through here a little bit. Peter said, he said, what does it matter if you're buffeted for your own faults? He said that, you know, you're just taking it patiently. That don't mean nothing. But when you do what's right and you're still buffeted for it, people still mad at you, and then you take that patiently, it says that's acceptable before God. Just like Jesus said, you love your neighbors, you love your friends. It's a big deal. The sinners do that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump helps his buddies around his circle, but I ain't seen a dime. You know why? Because I'm not his buddy.
Sure.
And to think, we worried about having friends and associates and everything else, and here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Heaven, the Creator of everything. I pray you believe it. If you don't, then why are you fussing about it? He's either it or he isn't.
Right.
He either is God, amen, the Almighty, the self-sufficient one, the one who don't need nobody, who chose to come get you.
Amen.
Who chose to find you when he didn't have to, brother, sister,
sure,
when you were his enemy. That's the love of God to us, that while we were his enemy, while we were sinners, while we did hate him, while we did speak bad of him, when we were offended in him. He says, what are you talking about? I can drink, I can smoke, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I believe in God, leave me alone. Oh, come on now. Don't tell me you ain't never been there. I know I'm not supposed to have that, but God understands. Yeah, he does. And that's why he's giving you another day to repent. That's grace.
Amen.
Grace don't mean you're allowed to sin. Grace is here's another day so you can repent and get right before I got to judge you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God is a God of judgment. He will bring everything to court. Remember what we talked about that here not too long ago. Everything will go to God's court. But what side are you coming on? I want amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to be so far in front of me that it just paved the whole way before it ever got to me, to where God can't see a thing I did.
Amen.
I don't want my testimony in there. I want Christ's testimony.
Amen.
His salvation was great in my life. His mighty hand came down and he pulled me out of every muck of sin I was ever in.
Sure, amen.
Hallelujah. Because what's the temptation here as I try to close today? Is when the offenses come, we get it just buries us under. And what happens? We become bitter. We become the one that are offended and getting mad at other people making us offended, not recognizing you're doing the same thing you're mad at them for. That's why Jesus said, don't judge lest ye be judged. That's what he's talking about, is you're sitting here holding a standard to someone else that you're under yourself.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, that wouldn't happen to me. I'm this and that. It happened to the prophet. And that's where I'm trying to close this on today. We are all susceptible to this. But don't just let it bear you down to where you don't do nothing for the kingdom no more. Rise up and say, Lord, I don't have to stay this way. You can help me out. Listen now. Stand in the gap, 1963. Now to us, to get close now to what I want to say. Now I'm preaching to myself in this. Could we stand and see a human being that's blind, physically blind, and know that he's walking off a cliff? Could we, in our state of mind that we're in this morning, could we stand and see a blind man walk over a cliff and not try to warn him? It would be that we would be so cruel. We'd be so indifferent in our heart. Could you imagine a person getting so indifferent that he could almost laugh and see a blind man that couldn't see and can't help himself deliberately walk off a cliff? That would be a bad thing. Do nothing about it. Well, to my brethren world over, I want to make this confession. I humbly say it that that's just about what I was doing or fixing to do. I've been preaching for years and I'd become an old man, an old veteran preacher, and had a lot of hard battles, and maybe I'm scarred, all cut up on the inside from fights. Because my lot that the Lord gave me was not back to kiss the babies and to marry the young and bury the old, but it was to hold a two-handed sword at the battlefront against the wiles of paganism and demonology and the powers of darkness, and to fight it with the Word of God till I seen the enemy defeated. I've been cut deep many times. And he's not talking physically, brother, sister. There's people, Brother Branham bent back over and suffered. There's people that got up on the platform and said, anything he's about to preach, don't you listen to it. But when the discernment happens, that's God. And he still come out there and says, God bless your friends. Thanks for having me today. Well, I ain't going to go preach there. What is that? What is that to thee? Preach the word. Preach the word. If that man's a hypocrite, look, God will judge him for it.
Amen.
You don't need to do it. Let it go. But there's others that need to hear the truth.
Amen.
And that goes beyond just the preacher. That goes for every person in here. Your consecrated life is the only thing that can ever help in anyone. But if you're all bitter and broke up and fussing about everything, why do they want what you want?
Right.
You ain't no different than them. And Brother Brand was saying he was becoming this way. And I could keep reading. He talks about how, you know, all these signs and wonders and all these vindications, even though the angel Lord's put on photograph and all these things that should prove where he's standing. He said it began to make him bitter. It began to make him so tired. I call it evangelical woes. Where you're just so tired of being rejected all the time. You just decide, well, I just ain't going to say it no more. Nobody wants to hear it anyways. Sometimes parents feel that way, don't you? You tell your kid 500 times. What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't do that. And you begin, but don't get to the point where you're just all bitter and grumpy about it all the time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just stay on the truth. Just keep preaching it and keep loving that person. He gets down a little bit ways and he says, so I think in the midst of all of it, before going any further, both here and across the world, the people who will be listening and listening now will know that it's proven by every act to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Done the very same things that He did, healed the sick, know the thoughts of the mind, for it showed things that would come to pass, and every time perfectly through these years. I'm 54 years old and saw a vision since I was about 18 months old, and not one time, but every time it's been the truth. See? Now that has to be God. And then me thinking that, why are the people so blind that they can't see that? See, this can all enter our minds at any time. Hallelujah. The prophet was a prophet, but he was still a man.
Right.
Hallelujah. And he dealt with rejection. And I'm going to skip down a little bit more. I'm trying to get this done. And I thought, if people that call themselves Christians, if they don't want to listen to the message that I'm preaching, then let them alone. I'll just stop it altogether and I'll go up into the mountain. And I say to people, I've never regarded myself, anybody knows this, but people have said, Brother Bram, the Lord called you to be His prophet. Well, I've never regarded myself as that, but I began to get to the time that I was about ready to think, ready to do it, to think, well, maybe I am. If I am, I'll live up in the wilderness. And if I live back in the wilderness, then I'll be His prophet, see, and then He wants to send me somewhere. And while He's not using me, I'll be sure to catch some fine fish and do things. Of course, that was kind of selfish attitude, see, because I wanted to do that. That's how I've heard it called escapism. Where you're dealing with something in your life and you make an excuse to do something that you normally wouldn't do because you're escaping your problem.
Sure.
That is defeat, brother, sister. That is saying the Spirit of God is not great enough for my trial. Never is the Christian called to retreat.
Right.
He is to stand and press forward.
Amen.
When God brings a storm, it's not to just let it destroy you and to push you aside. It's to show you that He loves you. And He's about to cut that storm in half and watch you walk through the middle of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We all love miracles, but we all forget the trial these men and women went through to get to those miracles.
Amen.
Do you know there's women that lived a life of reproach because they didn't have a baby before they finally, God gave them the promise and took the reproach off. And then they brought forth prophets and warriors and things that we cherish these days came from a woman who prayed years and years and years and suffered reproach and was offended by all. Hallelujah.
Sure.
God brought forth His Savior through a woman who would have to be burdened by offense all the time.
Right.
Nobody believed that was a virgin birth. They believed she was an adulteress. There you go.
Right.
Against Joseph. Nobody believed that. And if it wouldn't have been for the angel of the Lord, Joseph wouldn't have believed that.
That's right.
And he was a just man. He was a man following the word. But it shows you how much, no matter how hard we try, if we don't have the Spirit of God, you'll never see it right.
Amen.
You're going to be offended by and by. And God have mercy on you if you offend a true Christian trying to serve the Lord. I think of the condemnation going to come to some of these preachers that lied through their cheeks saying they believe this truth. And got so many people messed up in divorces and cutting things left and right and making excuses and why the word don't work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And now there's people out there, they would believe, but they don't know what to believe.
Right.
Many of us were there. And if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd still be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God didn't bring us these things to destroy us. He brought it so we could wade right through it and watch the glory of God shine upon us. Don't make excuses where you're at in life. Realize this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for the glory of God to shine through my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Hallelujah. I forgot where I was going to go. There it is. Hebrews chapter 3. It's the quote. Now I'm going to close right here. Just leave the rest for another time. Hebrews chapter 3, 19:57. He says, God loves to bring you into trouble. I don't like that, Lord. Too bad. God loves to bring you into trouble. He loves to put trouble down and see what you'll do about it. So, he just stopped up the Red Sea, and the first thing you know, marched them right down into this place and sent Pharaoh after him. See, God likes to do it. He loves to display His power and love. He is God, and He just loves to show you who He is. Amen. Do you know that's the whole reason sin was ever allowed to exist in the first place? Was so God could express Himself to us? How are we supposed to know He's a deliverer if we never need to be delivered?
Amen.
How are we supposed to know He's a Savior if we never had to be saved? So why do we get all worked up about the condition we're in when we need to recognize God allowed that to happen so He could express Himself as the one to fix the condition I'm in?
Amen.
Amen. He didn't bring him to a Red Sea to kill him. He brought it to show him, look, I can hold off an army feet within you as long as I want to.
Amen.
I can make a sea push out of the way. What are you going to be afraid of? Come on, let's go.
Amen.
Amen. You know what happened? They never believed it anyways. They had excuses in their heart the whole time. They crossed the river, and because of some tall guys, they never went to Promised Land.
Right.
It's like you didn't just see the pillar of fire that just went behind us and stopped it. How many knows the whole real story of Moses? It ain't what everybody says that they just hurried along across. No, it was about evening time almost, and the pillar of fire cloud came behind them and got in the way. And Pharaoh's army didn't know where to go. So they just rested.
Yep.
They just waited right there. And God said, okay, now put your staff point and open the Red Sea to where it was dry.
Yeah.
It wasn't muddy, all right? If you're on muddy roads, I'm here to tell you, you ain't going God's way. You're going your way still.
Amen.
So when God does something, it works right.
Amen.
Oh, there's trial on every side, but it works.
Yep.
That's right. You might have been sick, but it'll get you healed. You might feel like an idiot, look stupid, and mess your hair up, but that's okay. You'll be fine.
Right.
Pulled that dry water and they walked all night long. 2 million people, you think they can run across a river in a matter of minutes? That's right, buddy. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Millions of people. You think you know what millions of people looks like until you're just within a few thousand. You're like, man, there's a lot of people here. Millions of people. That'd be everywhere we could see in defiance.
Yeah.
We're all going to fit through this Red Sea in a few minutes. No, it took them all night. And they all got comfortably to the other side. And what happened? Oh, all of a sudden the pillar of cloud, I can't remember right now, but decides to lift off. Why has God put us through another trial? What are you worried about? He just stopped them there. Why wouldn't He stop them now?
Amen.
And really, He was just setting it up so He could get rid of your enemy.
Right.
Really, He was just setting it up so finally, instead of just running from the devil all the time in this thing of the world and I can't seem to overcome, He's going to make it die so you ain't got to never worry about it again. That's why God brought us to Himself. That's why God called us by the Spirit so we could die to our old self to where there's not even a desire to go back. So I don't care, devil. Bring every pot smoker. Bring every drunkard. Bring every cigarette right around here. It ain't going to bother me. I got no desire for it. Glory to God. Bring every devil of oppression. Bring all the... It doesn't matter. I'll wade through every ripple because I've got the Spirit of God in me.
Amen.
And that's all I want is His will.
Amen.
Tell me all you want to, devil. It ain't going to pull me aside.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This takes people that really believe the Word, though. This takes people sold out to saying, this is my absolute.
Amen.
If God could watch a bunch of people, come on now, that watched 10 miracles, still whined at Him. Opened the Red Sea, got Him across, got Him safe. They still whined at Him. Rained them food out of heaven every day. Except for Sunday. 2 days on Saturday, twice as much on Friday. And they still complained. And He still nurtured them. He still took care of them. Still loved them. How much more a Holy Ghost-filled person
sure
that was running as hard as you could from God that had so much more witness of the truth of the gospel, yet he still reached out and grabbed you and pulled you back to himself. Don't you worry about the waves coming, brother, sister. When you begin to think that you're going through something that's too hard for you, remember how much harder what he's went through compared to you. I'm not just talking on when he came to Calvary and things like that. That was the greatest trial Jesus ever had. But look, we still hurt him to this day.
That's right.
Why? Because of what I'm saying here. Something get offended, and we, instead of doing what he said, we cause a bigger problem. We keep a soul away from the kingdom. Now I'm going to close on this. I appreciate your patience today. Really, the only reason it's feeling long is because I took that minute to tell you what happened, but this is about normal. Prophet of God one time walked into a bar, or not a bar, a diner, but it felt like a bar to him. They said there's a jukebox in the corner with some police officers messing around with some woman. And he looked and he just saw filth on every side. He said, "My kid's going to have to grow up in this mess." He said, "God, how do you even stand this muck of sin?" And all of a sudden, he just moved right to the back of the door there, and God gave him a vision. And he saw the earth up there and Jesus above it. He said every once in a while, it hit him right in the face. He just smacked Jesus right in the head, smack him right over here. He said, "Lord, what's doing that?" He said, "Your sin. We're all worried about the sins of the world. What about yours? You hurt him just as bad as anyone else has." And then the Lord took his hand in his side. As we know, he took the blood and he wrote over all the sins and things that he had done. He wrote the word pardon. See, if it wasn't for Jesus there, as we understand that the sin would have got to God the Father and he'd have to judge you. God is holy. Can't let it get there. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there was a bumper keeping it from getting there. And every time he would do something, it would hit him. And he wrote the word pardoned all over the top of it and threw it over his shoulder, the sea of forgetfulness. He said to the prophet, he said, "I freely forgave you, but what about her? You want me to destroy her, but leave you alive?" Brother, sister, where does that put us today? He said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I wasn't right." And you know what he did? He got over his offendedness. He rode the wave by the Spirit of God. And you know what he did? He led that woman to Christ. Sometimes I watch people look or pretend or act like they're going to witness and testify to someone that they believe is serpent seed. Why would you witness to someone you believe is serpent seed? There's no salvation for them if they're serpent seed. There's no chance. And why would you waste your time on someone you don't think there's a chance for? So why would you let that thought come into your mind when you go to pray for someone? "Well, I'm just going to pray because I have to." Then why are you wasting your time? Why do we pray for souls just so they come here and they can still be sinners? No, I'm believing that they're not supposed to be out there, that they're not born to be sinners. They're not serpent seed. They're sons and daughters of God, that the devil's caged up. And if I've got to be offended every day of my life, if they make fun of me every time I go over there, every time they come to my house, they tell me how stupid I am. If I could just stay on the word, it's the only chance they'll ever have of coming to Christ. Brother, sister, it's time for us to dedicate our hearts back to our real mission. Lord, it's the end time. And souls are heading to hell faster than we can speak this afternoon, and we are too busy complaining and whining about our little trials to even recognize that God is trying to fashion you to be a real witness.
Amen.
To say, look, to say to a sinner, "I know what you're going through. I know we're having hard times, but I'm here to tell you, pay your tithes, serve the Lord, and God will take care of it because he's done it for me."
Amen. Yes.
But if we don't have that testimony, how can you give it to anyone else?
Sure.
Hallelujah. And that's just money, but how much more everything else in life? You know that, "Oh, I have to drink to get pleasure." So what are you talking about? Just come be in the presence of the Lord for a little bit. Come feel the real joy of being delivered from sin, and you'll never want that thing again. Hallelujah. How many people believe that with all your heart? How many say, "Lord, I'm here to dedicate myself anew," and say, "Lord, I believe this." Let's stand before him. Let's praise him. Say, "Lord, this is my heart on the altar today. I want to be that soldier for you. I want to wait everything that comes my way and to bring glory and honor to your name, Lord Jesus." Hallelujah. Take all complaining out of my heart. Take all these excuses out of my life and let the Spirit of God fill me with the love, the joy, the peace that should be flowing out of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just invite His presence now in your heart. Don't bring nothing else but your heart to Him now.
Praise God.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
A flesh.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, yes,
blessed
Lord
be your
Jesus.
Name, Lord.
How
blessed
we love
be your
you,
name.
Father, Lord Jesus.
Lord, just create it in our hearts today. Create in me a clean heart. If you know it, it's 5:39 if you know. Give me a clean heart. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. In you.
A clean heart. Oh, God.
Yes, Lord, grant it, Father.
And renew a right spirit within.
Oh, hallelujah. Grant it, Lord, today. Cast me not away, Father. Yes, Lord.
Oh, cast me not away. From thy presence, so Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Oh, glory to God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Every head bowed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You might not know this, but that song is actually from a psalm in the Bible written by David. And it was written by David just after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. The prophet had rebuked him and shown him what he'd done wrong. And instead of just getting offended, what did he do? He humbled himself. And he wrote what we just sang. Lord, create in me a clean heart. I can't do it myself. I'm wicked. I'm vile. But I know where to go, Lord. I'm coming to you. Create in me that clean heart. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me. I'll be helpless without it. Don't cast me away, but draw me to yourself. And the prophet turned and said, David, the Lord pardons you. He forgives you. You'll suffer for it, but He forgives you. Brother, sister, I don't care where you came from today. That was a witness for us. If there's any desire in your heart to serve the Lord, if there's anything in you that says, you know what, I might have been wrong. I might have been offended. I might have got worked up and done things I shouldn't have done. But I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to act like it just didn't shouldn't happen, but it's here. Lord, I'm coming to you and say, Father, forgive me. Is there anyone say, Lord, that's me? God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you be ashamed. Don't you worry about it. God don't have no room for shame. That's why He brought the blood. Take our shame. To take away our reproach. He put it to the cross. He nailed it away from you. Don't bring it back with unbelief. Let it go in faith. Say, Lord, I believe this with all my heart. I thank you for that blood. Wash that old man away. Crucify him, Lord. Oh, just let him go. Every love of the world, let it go. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Keep on pressing through now. Those of you seeking that, stay there until you get that peace back. Don't you leave here still burning. You came here to get rid of that. Hallelujah. I feel the atmosphere just right. Don't you leave outside of the peace of God. God has brought you to Him today to take that from you. You don't have to be bitter no more. You don't have to think about it no more. Hallelujah. You don't have to come and be unworthy and all. It's not about you. It was about Him. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hear His voice, children. Hear Him speak to you today. You're not here by chance. You're here by predestination. You're here because you had to be here to hear this. Satan might have had you, but he can't keep you. You're not his property. I don't believe that for a soul that's here. I don't believe you're serpent seed. I believe you're children of God. And I'm tired of watching the devil keep you caged up from the victory that you're supposed to have. Don't let none of those thoughts of indifference or offense and all, don't let none of that cross your mind. Let it be the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Let it be the peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. Let it be a righteous heart before the Lord that says, you know what? I might not even know these people very well, but there's something in me that just loves them to death. I don't know that man on the street, but there's something in me that wants to see him saved. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the move of your Spirit. Pray your own way. Just let the Lord have his way in your life. I'll lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to feel your presence again, Lord, and bringing us this word. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that every device of the enemy be destroyed right now by the Spirit of God, that every child of God would have the shackles fall off, the cages break open, and walk as children of God. Walk in the light as God is in the light. Grant each one that's here, Lord, pardon our iniquities, we pray, by your precious blood. Let that banner over us be love. May it be shed abroad in our hearts to every dying soul in this world. I see soldiers raising up to fight for the kingdom of God, the last voice to the last age, Lord. And I pray that this word you've given us will give strength to each heart, strength to each soul, to press the battle one more day, to press it one more hour, and to stay on the front lines until every enemy is defeated. Grant to each one, Lord, may their faith rise and catch every promise that they're supposed to have today. Grant it, we pray, in that name that can never fail, the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Jesus. Children, worship Him with all your heart. Worship Him free of condemnation. Keep rising in faith. Don't settle. Keep rising in that joy and peace. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you. I adore you. I bow down before you. I love you. Adore you. I bow down. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we appreciate you today. As we sing it again, if you have a need of prayer, come forward now, I ask. Come on, Father. It's all right. Is there anyone else? Would you come now? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father,
faith, Lord, I believe it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, lay hands on my brother. I pray you heal him, Lord, of this infirmity. Lord, may you just come back to normal. We'll be able to hear normal again. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, lay hands on my brother. But I pray that the Holy Spirit lay His hands upon him, deliver him from this anxiety, this stress, Lord, that's bringing him down, and the pain in his body, Lord. He wants to serve you. He needs strength in his body to be on the job, to do what he's supposed to do. And I pray, according to your promise, Lord, you said if two of you agree on any one thing, you would do it, Lord. And I agree with my brother. Make this body well and deliver him of any spirit, a contrary to your word, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Believe that with all your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. You're a comfort
to me.
Yes, you are, Lord. Do you feel His presence today? Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to me.
You lead me, You guide me, You're dwelling inside me.
This trial, Sister Violet's going through, Brother Phil, Lord, it's only bringing them back to you. It's an answer to our prayers. We pray, Lord, that healing would be made in his body, but more his soul. May be right here on the front of worshiping you in the spirit of truth. Do what no man can do, Lord, and perform the miraculous, we pray. We believe it, Lord, and we give you thanks for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit,
yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be his name. Thank him for what you asked him for.
Lead me. You
believe it with all your heart.
Your dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Heavenly Father, you appreciate him with all your heart today. Yes, Lord.
Holy Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, I love you. Adore. Bow down before you, Heavenly Father. I appreciate you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just lift him up, children. You believe with all your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit here amongst us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Worship him in spirit and in truth, brother, sister. See your need fulfilled right there. It's already here. He witnesses it right now with his presence, that he hears your prayers, that he loves you. Lift his name up, children. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's wonderful. Isn't he glorious, brother, sister? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we give him a hand clap of praise and worship? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord, Jesus. I thank him for his grace and mercy. I just love feeling his presence here. I love having people that believe the word and get their answers to prayer.
How many's heard from God today?
Amen.
Amen. Say, Lord, let it live in my heart. How many's a new creation in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Believe it with all its. Don't never go that other side. Don't never go back, brother, sister. Don't even act like you love that no more. You're dead to those things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going home soon, brother, sister.
Amen.
Don't give up now. It's the worst time. Say, Lord, you brought me through all that. Some of you have been through tsunamis. You made it through. What's this wave today? Just keep on bearing through it. You'll be just fine. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. It's 5:44. If you don't know it, we'll sing as we go today. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again.